summertime is a great time to get into the issue of discipleship, right? Because, you know, nobody's here for turkey. Nobody's here for Christmas presents. You know, nobody's here for Easter brunch, right? It's usually the folks, you know, the real family members are here. And you know, if you're here after July 4th weekend, you want to grow in Christ. You know, this is basically the way it is. And one of the books that I think, in my mind, is really, it's interesting because the word disciple or discipleship is never really mentioned in it, but I think 1 John is a book that is really about discipleship. It's about walking and being with God. And it starts off with the foundation, with the basis of what it, you know, what a disciple follows, right? Let me just define real quick what a disciple is. A disciple is someone who sees qualities in somebody else's teaching and life, and they want to follow that. So you have a target in front of you to be like that person and to think like they think and to follow what they teach. That's what discipleship is. And Jesus told us in Matthew, he said, go and make disciples. That's the mission of the church, is to go and make disciples. And he said, teaching them to obey my commands. In other words, so everything that Jesus taught and everything Jesus told us to learn, that's our pattern for life. And the ultimate discipler is Jesus. And then through Jesus, we have the apostles and their word, and then we have each other. Right? So we have, that's the target in front of us, is to model ourselves in a way that is, you know, ultimately like Jesus, ultimately like the apostles, ultimately like our best leaders and what have you, right? That's what discipleship's about. And everybody should be engaged in that work. We're you know, and I you know, that at some point you're still always a disciple, because you're always growing, you're always learning. And at another point, you are a discipler, where you're taking someone who doesn't know as much and you're trying to help them grow, right? So that's what discipleship's about. And I find in this little section the basis of discipleship. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testify to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So he begins with the idea of the first generation of disciples, the apostles. That which was from the beginning. Well, I'm sorry, that first line, it should have started with that. That which is from the beginning. You know, there are some people that actually think, wrongly so, that the plan of Jesus Christ was something that appeared later. Like in the middle of the Gospels, they saw the Jews were going no farther, so now we're going to go with plan B. Jesus is plan A. Jesus in the very beginning was the plan. Genesis 3:15 tells us that, you know, when the seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent while the serpent bites the heel of the seed of the woman. The whole idea of the gospel is kind of captured in that little statement. Genesis chapter 12, chapter 15, chapter 22, and so many of those, they're talking about the promises that are unleashed finally through the power of Jesus Christ. So it is that which is from the beginning. In other words, God's eternal plan. Before God said, let there be light, He knew there was going to be Jesus. He knew there was going to be Bethlehem. He knew there was going to be a cross. And He knew there was going to be a resurrection from the dead. God knew all that. So from the beginning, God's eternal plan. We heard it, He says. We saw it with our eyes. We looked at it. We touched it with our hands. We proclaim the word of life. The idea of the marvelous plan of God and how he sent his son looking like us, being like us. And in order to make the first group of disciples, he lived with them. They ate with Jesus. They got to fish with Jesus, right? They walked from town to town, having heavenly chit-chat, if you will, with Jesus all the time. They heard Jesus' profound teaching. They heard a teaching about the kingdom of heaven. They heard about, God's plans that were being revealed, like for the first time ever, right? They heard things that people had never heard before. And he spoke with such authority and such power, they were amazed at what they heard. And then they saw. They saw Jesus going up to sick people, people lying on a mat, haven't been able to get up for 30 years. And Jesus would just say, rise and walk. And the person gets up for the first time in their life and is able to run and dance and jump and shout. Going up to blind people and saying, I will that you be healed. And their eyes are open. And all of a sudden, sometimes for the first time in their life, they were able to see. Out on the lake with the wind and the waves and the storms and the ferocious idea of being a little bitty boat and all the waves and the fear that was there. And Jesus just gets up and says, be calm. And the waves still down. And they looked at each other and said, who is this that the wind and the waves obey them? They were there when he went to Lazarus, who'd been dead 4 days, locked up in a tomb. And with just a couple of words, come out. Lazarus rises up from the dead and comes out wearing his grave cloths. They saw Jesus. This was not a group that heard about Jesus or heard the stories. They witnessed it day to day to day. They knew who Jesus was. They saw him. They touched him. They learned from him. They heard his word, his teaching about the kingdom of heaven. These were the first, right? It says, the life appeared, and we've seen it, and we testify to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. They not only saw Jesus' earthly ministry, they not only saw, the healings and the miracles of calming storms and the raising up from the dead of Lazarus, but they saw Jesus get crucified. They bore witness to his death. They held his limp and dead body. They took it and they laid it in a tomb. And they saw that Jesus rose again from the dead. They saw that he was indeed declared to be the Son of God through the resurrection of the dead. That proved who he was beyond a shadow of a doubt. And many of them saw him, who said right up to 500 at one time, saw Jesus risen from the dead. That life appeared. The power over death. The power to conquer sin. The power to destroy the work of Satan. The power that is invested in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They saw it and they testified to it. You know that we hold the Word of God in very high esteem here. We will never, one time somebody dared to share something and didn't have any text with it, and I chided that person. I said, don't you ever do that again. The Word of God, the testimony of these first apostles, God gave them to us. God set them up. God sent them to walk with Jesus, to see Jesus, to be eyewitnesses of Jesus. He endowed them with special power from on high so that when they wrote Scripture, it was far beyond anything that's ever been written. I mean, all you have to do, seriously, is you look at the next generation of writers. Look at Clement. Look at the church fathers, the apostolic fathers. There's nothing in comparison, to what God gave us in the apostles. What God gave us through their eyewitness testimony, right? And they bore witness to it. They bore witness to who Jesus is. And then God gave them the power to testify, to bear witness to who Jesus is. This is the foundation of discipleship. It begins with a very simple thing. I believe in Jesus. We sing that song all the time, and I try to get people to, you know, look, it's not just a song, it's a confession. I believe in Jesus. I believe that He is everything that Scripture says He is. I believe He did everything that the apostles bore witness that He did. I believe that He rose again from the dead, and by doing so, proved He has power to break the bondage of death, the bondage of the grave, and the bondage of sin. That He has power, He has life. Scripture says that the Lord has life in Him, that God the Father has life in Him. And Jesus in the Gospel of John said, and the Lord has granted me to have life in me. And Jesus proved it by getting up, by coming out of the grave. He says, we proclaim to you the eternal life. The life, the word of life, I'm sorry, is genitive of source. There's two ways to look at a genitive. I know this gets exciting. Everybody loves genitives, right? But it's a form of noun in the Greek, adjective, and it says basically life comes out of this word. Okay, so it's not there's a possessive, like a word that possesses life, but I like the idea of the source, genitive of source, where it is the word that gives life. That's what we confess. We confess in Jesus Christ. See, again, how do we have life in us? How do we receive, you know, the power of resurrection in our lives? How do we receive the power of transformation in our lives? How do we receive a relationship with God that goes from now till forever, right? There has to be a power in it. There has to be something other than words, other than just talk. It has to be the word that gives life. It has to be through Jesus, the ultimate word that gives life. And then the testimony about Jesus, which is the word that gives life, and our profession and our confession of that word, which gives life. It is indeed the word of life. It is the word of life that makes us disciples. If we don't believe in the Word, if we start dropping off the Word, we become something else. Every denomination that's gone haywire in this generation started a generation ago when they began to diminish the Word of God. You diminish the Word of God. You say, well, it's something, and there's something else that's equal to it. You've crossed a line, and in another few steps, well, it's maybe not as good as other things. And then maybe it's really nothing at all. And that's when you start doing things that people gasp at. You did what? You ordained who? Right? We don't do that. Disciples hold to the word of life. And yes, it's ancient. And yes, it's archaic. And yes, it was written in foreign languages of Greek and Hebrew. But it is the word of life, and nothing in all of history, all of our sophistication, all of our science, and all that we have come to know, nothing has changed the power of the word of life. It still is the only instrument that can change and transform a soul and take a sinner and turn him into a child of God. It's the only thing that can enter into our lives and make us able to rise up from the grave and to be with God the Father Almighty and to see His glory and to get to kiss the feet of our Savior Jesus. The Word of Life is the foundation of our discipleship. Jesus said, if you're going to make disciples, teach them to obey my words, my commands. Teach them to embrace the word of life. Teach them to take the testimony that He gave us through these great apostles. Why were they great? Because God made them great. That's all. Nothing about them. God made them who they were. And by the grace of God, they are what they are. And they are ours. They belong to us. And God gave them to us, their testimony, their words. We proclaim it to you. It says, that which was with the Father, the word pros, meaning right up against. In Revelation, we see, you know, the throne that, I tell you, it's a circular throne room, and in the midst, in the very core, the very heart, there is the throne of God and the Lamb of God in the throne, with the throne, right? That's where He belonged. That's where He belongs. The Word of life, our Word. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship often is used to talk about being buddies. I go fishing, I'm having fellowship, right? Why? Because we all like fishing. We're out there, right? Okay. The idea of having something in common, the idea of what's in common. We believe in the Word of life. We believe in Jesus Christ. We confess there is a kingdom of heaven. We confess that sin is a problem. We confess that Jesus broke the back of sin. We confess that God has a plan for us beyond this world. We confess in the Word, in all that the Word teaches us. And that makes us a family. That gives us something in common. There, you know, this word actually was used at one time to talk about kind of a communal lifestyle or almost a communism, but you know, don't go there with it. But the idea, you see it in Acts chapter 4, where the people loved each other so much and they were so much in God that they didn't care about the stuff of the world. Very rarely happens in human history where people throw off the things of the world and because they love God so much and they see each other so much as brothers and sisters, not foreigners, not strangers, not a guy down the street, but you are my flesh and you are my blood and you are my family. We have a fellowship because Christ died for us and Christ's power is in us and Christ's love is in us and Christ's joy is in us and Christ's truth is in us. We have a fellowship. That's what it means. See, when we start to be disciples, remember, I always remind you, it's not a me, it's a we. It's not an I, it's an us. It's we are growing together. We are helping each other. We care about each other. We want each other to be filled with the Spirit. We want each other to have what we need. We want each other to do well in God first and then in everything else as well. We care. Right? That's the idea of sharing that common life in the Spirit, the common hope of transformation, life-changing Word in us as disciples of Jesus Christ. He says, our fellowship is here, and our fellowship is with God and with His Son. It is a grand fellowship. It is a grand fellowship that this is not a club. We're not trying to see how many tickets we can sell or how many seats we can fill. We're trying to fellowship with each other and fellowship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And as many as want to join that fellowship, Lord, let them come. Let them come and join in. Let them come and enjoy this grace, this power, this love, this great fellowship of God, bought through the blood of Jesus Christ, founded on His truth, on His Word, on the testimony of our leaders, the apostles. We do this, He says, I'm writing this so that you'll have joy. And you think about that which we've been invited to, that fellowship, right? We have a unique and glorious Savior. What Jesus has done for us, nobody else can ever do again. It is unique in all of history. There is one Savior, one Lord, one Jesus. And He is a part of our fellowship, right? The nature of the Word, the nature of the Word that's given us is a Word that gives life. It gives life to us. It gives life to others as we share it. It is, again, a testimony, a confession that keeps us alive now and forever. It is, again, this beautiful family of God. That's what, you know, we're not being discipled as individuals. We're being discipled as a community, as believers. It doesn't stop at these walls. I know that. You know, God's too big for that, isn't He? But again, as we're here, you know, yes, let it be us that are being discipled. And there's great joy. And we come in here every week and we worship the Lord. We praise God. We enjoy the fellowship of the Spirit, the fellowship of the Word. We enjoy that. That's, you know, why I think John says, it really makes me happy to write to you, to tell you about the foundation of our Christian faith. And that is testimony about who Jesus is and what He's done. That's the basis, the foundation of who we are and of our fellowship. Amen? Amen? So as we come today, we're going to share in the Lord's table. And as we do that, this is a table that does remind us of fellowship. It's fellowship. We could not do it. We couldn't have any of this unless it was for the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so we share in His body. We share in His blood. And we remember all that God did to bring us in. All that God did to make us His family, His children. Let's prepare our hearts for fellowship.